So we're here today with Sean Ryan, who is, again, who's running on the Democratic line for mayor of the city of Buffalo. And we're going to get into his city services again today in a little more detail. And the reason is because this was something that every single candidate brought up as something within city services, particularly potholes, for example, being the most sort of visible reminder of city services. And so what I want to discuss in more specific is how we actually fix these things. Because as I started to try and figure out which department does what and compare that to other cities, Buffalo honestly seemed a hopeless mess. So I'll run through streets, sanitation, and public works very quickly just to give an outline, and then we can get into detail with you. So the streets department does the following. They do street sweeping, snow plowing, bulk trash. They cut the grass on city-owned lots. They pick up leaves. They pick up Christmas trees. And the sanitation department...
Just to be clear, the city of Buffalo does not pick up leaves unless they pick up leaves.
Well, that is something I would like you to get into. So the sanitation department does the following. Weekly garbage pickup, recycling, which is contracted out, and composting, which is contracted out. And then something that we can get into within your conversation is... It's my understanding that the composting location and potentially the electronics drop-off location, which were on Seneca Street, are both now closed. And the user fee is supposed to, I guess, cover the cost of the garbage recycling fees. And then the services. And then the Public Works Department, just for the purposes of this discussion, because there's a lot more that they do, fix potholes and light poles, but not the actual lights because that's National Grid. So what the first thing I did was I was going through and looking where all these things take place is that this seemed confusing and disjointed and all over the place. So can you maybe correct me if I'm wrong on some of these things or dig into it a little bit deeper?
We all know that there's a problem with delivery of basic services, and the basic services that are most apparent to residents are the conditions of the streets, whether it's potholes, whether it's snow plowing, or just the fact that, you know, the streets are old and not up to date. So people think of that. But there's a lot of work to be done there. And, you know, I don't know how much of it is the structure that was set up, how much of it is that it's underfunded by the city of Buffalo, and how much it is because of leadership. But, you know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to go through these departments, you know, one by one, make recommendations, but that's all stuff you'd be hearing about during the first 100 days.
So how do you, I mean, I guess what I find kind of complicated about this is that you have different parts of the city that are doing different, like similar jobs, and it seems like a lot of overlap, and that's where I wonder about the efficiency of these systems.
I haven't really seen a lot of overlap. What I've seen is more because of poor logistics, it becomes inefficient. There's not a schedule to cut city-owned properties. It's often complaint-driven, and the crews will go down streets after there's been complaints. But then they'll cut every vacant lot on the street, whether it's city-owned or not city-owned. So I would only imagine, you know, people talk about moral hazards. A moral hazard will be if you're a private person who owns a lot and you realize the city will just come mow it for you, you'll probably stop mowing it yourself. So those are, you know, some of the things we have to look at. But I view that as more logistics. The people who cut those lawns, you know, they're not given a computer program, you know, that's right, that's in your truck when you start the day, saying here's your route, the most efficient layout, and here's what you're going to encounter, you know, at those sites. So I view that as we're behind in logistics. You know, we're putting folks in the field, but we're not using those people the most efficient way possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like, I mean, if you imagine if you're, and I never liked the analogy of saying, you know, it's kind of a common analogy to say, well, government should run more like business, because government is not business. But there are certain things you can obviously learn. Like I'm saying, like if there's a landscaping crew, you know, they're going to make a route, right? If they're going out Thursday and Friday to cut grass, they're going to know the route that they're doing. These are the lawns we're going to do. I'm talking if it's, you know, private crew. So why couldn't the city do something like that?
Yeah, I too reject this idea that government should run like a business. I like to say government should run more like a good government.
Yeah.
So the county already has these mechanisms in place. When county plow drivers start the day, you know, they have a computer system, and that computer system puts their route in, much like an Uber driver. And the Uber driver doesn't struggle to find directions each time they pick up a fare. You're given the most efficient route. Same with, you know, the town of Tonawanda. So the drivers have a route, and then in Erie County, that route is then available to the public. You go on the website, you can see, I live on X Street. And it'll give you an idea of where the driver is on this route and an idea of when they're going to get to your house. So it takes a lot of the guesswork out, but also makes it super efficient. And I really like what they do in Tonawanda for the garbage pickup. The garbage, they're all on a route, and that inevitably someone calls and says, I've got my trash out late, and you know, I got a lot of it. You know, you think you can send a car by or a truck by? So Tonawanda puts that right into their system. So as those calls come in during the day, they're making a new route. And that, you know, one of the teams that are out stays over and they do the new route. Instead of addressing each week like it's a brand new week and we have to make it up.
So these, you know, this is what I always, you know, kind of go back to. A lot of these systems exist. And you know, can something like I don't know how these systems work. If they're just like, so city, that Tonawanda owns this, their own system that they've purchased or that they rent or however it works. That's the right. County has one. What's that?
That's right.
Yeah. So is there a way to, like, you know, just for a matter of sort of cost efficiency, like tagging onto some of these systems, or like, let's say, is it simply a county-based system that even though it's, let's say that the city of Buffalo still has their own plow drivers, but we're utilizing the county mapping system or whatever it is that they use.
Well, you got to be open. You have to have these communications. Like, you have to ask, like, Tonawanda, do you have capacity? Mm-hmm. You know, what system do you use? How much did it cost you? Does it work? And, you know, can you add a user? Simple questions, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to have these communications. And it's my impression that the city of Buffalo has stopped having these communications with suburban towns, with the county, but not also with Rochester and Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, you know, they're not going to the New York Conference of Mayors meetings to participate in the best practices conferences. But that's what we will be doing, is participating in those best practices. You don't want to be so cavalier as to say this is all low-hanging fruit, because perhaps things are more complicated than they appear. But I think a lot of this is low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same with, you know, maintenance schedule. You know, any given time, a third of our plows don't work. Well, you can assume, you know, if you're making your routes based on your plows, 100% of your plows working, you're already starting with the wrong data and you're going to be, you know, behind. So, and then we also need, you know, this is the idea of like logistics coordination. Is parking coordinating with snowplow? So do you do parking enforcement on these streets, or are the signs just commonly ignored by the residents? So if you look at a map of where parking tickets are given in the city of Buffalo, it's clustered in a very small area. So if parking tickets are supposed to drive behavior, that means there's big parts of the city where people park on both sides of the street without regard to the sign. Well, when you have to plow, that becomes a problem. So, but this is logistics. You have to coordinate these governmental agencies to make them be cognizant of their functions aren't in a silo. Their functions affect other departments. You're not just doing, you know, parking can't be judged by their own set of matrix. Parking has to be a member of the team and understanding that their actions have effects on other departments, but also they need to come into the member of team to, you know, give their input to say, hold on, like, you know, these streets we have very bad parking compliance on. You know, maybe we need to go down that street with letters and notices to remind people why you got to move your cars. And I've heard, you know, these are the anecdotes you hear when you're on knocking door to doors. But a woman was complaining about her snow plowing, and I said, you know, is it late? And she was, no, they don't plow my street. And she said, parking never enforces on my street. The snow plow stops at the top of the street, and if cars are on both sides, they just keep going, and the plow just never comes down my street. And, you know, that gives you that head explode moment, but also makes you realize that the different departments in the city of Buffalo are interacting with one another towards a common goal and objective. So parking's goal can't just be bring in parking revenues. It has to have a, realize it as a separate function of you want compliance with parking because of snow plowing.
Right. It reminds me, so I noticed that on our street with both street sweeping and snow plowing. So if there's cars that are blocking a certain, let's say they're on both sides of the street or they haven't moved, the plows, you know, go around them. So then we end up having this like massive lump of snow kind of in the middle of the block. And then
everyone does.
Yeah, everyone. It's all over the city. And then the street sweeping happens once there's no alternate parking on our street. So there's only alternate parking on our street from November 15th to April 15th. So then by the time the street sweeping starts in the spring, people are parking on both sides of the street. So the street sweeper will go up one way under the same right down the middle of the street and then come back the other way right down the middle of the street.
So we changed the parking rules. Correct?
Yep.
But we didn't realize, well, what effect does that have on other departments and their functionality?
Right. And then it reminds, so the thing that I remember when my mother lived in Manhattan for a while, and I would go down frequently to visit her. And the parking was such that, you know, each block was so specific. So there was like, let's just say it was like 2 to 4 on Tuesdays. We couldn't park on one side of the street on her block.
So full time, it's like the rules to a board game.
Oh,
it's
yeah, totally.
Very complex.
And, but the next block down is, so it's all staggered.
But you know what else happened on that block?
So I'll tell you.
Yeah, like, you tell me.
They would come down. The first people that came down are what you're saying is parking enforcement. So you would get a ticket, and then they would move your car. So then you'd have to go figure out where it was. They wouldn't move it. They wouldn't impound it. They would just move it somewhere else, probably to the block that they'd just done. But then all the city services came through. The streets was clean. Like, all the other things that they had timed for that two-hour period was done, and then people could park, and they're moving on to the next block.
Yeah, and it's a narrow gap of time
where
they actually perform those services. Yep. So on that day, the street sweeper came.
Right.
And we don't have that type of regular street sweeping in the city of Buffalo.
No, and it's but it and
they come like, literally weekly to your street in New York City.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it was enough so you can sit in your car and double park.
Yep.
And know the street sweeper will be here in 5 minutes.
Yep.
Then as soon as they're done, you can move your car back.
Yeah.
The other slightly obnoxious thing they do there is, if parking enforcement isn't with them, the street sweeper could stop and get out and put a orange sticker right on your windshield that would make it so you can't drive your car, that says this person, your street's dirty because this person didn't move their car, which would then take you an hour with a sponge and a razor blade to get off your window. So they did a little pirate justice there too.
Yeah, well, the nice thing was about it, and of course this is, you know, 20 plus years ago now, is that there, like, you knew it was going to happen, right? And so these things actually did happen. And it was, I mean, clearly they had to, and that, I guess that was part of my thinking about these, all these services being disjointed, was there's just so many, like, you know, it's not even the guys that are doing it that's the problem, or the employees that are doing it.
Okay.
It's the number of people that have to manage that system that aren't communicating. That's where I see that there's a real challenge.
Yeah, I would call it's a logistics challenge. You know, that's what I would call it. It's how are you engaging and are you working with the other people in the field?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the answer to a lot of this is no, it's not. But, you know, we have, you know, it's what you said, like, these are all intersecting circles. We started mechanics in Buffalo at $19 an hour. And that's way too low of a salary to attract retain mechanics. But this goes to why we have a whole lot of our fleet is not operational, because we're often down mechanics because we don't pay enough. And then we're also don't have a good policy for fleet replacement. A lot of cities no longer own their own cars. They're on a constant lease schedule where certain percentage of the fleet is taken out every year and a new one comes in. And, you know, that makes it so your cars are more and more complicated to fix. Mm-hmm. So, they all just go back to whoever your agent is who's doing that work, and they resell them. But they also have these similar contracts for trucks. So you're not spending so much of your efforts to keep that 30-year-old Caterpillar high lift going. You're getting that replaced out, snow plows. So we have to really look at our entire fleet and how it's maintained and purchased, and the schedule by which we replace it's super important.
Oh, absolutely. And I do think that, sometimes these, jobs, you don't even think about, you just so casually, you're not even going to think about the fact that the city has to have mechanics to maintain our equipment. It's like one of these things that people don't even think about, but it's often those kind of jobs which tie the whole system together.
That's right. Yeah, there's a few linchpin jobs that if they're not working, things stop working. Whoever operates the gas pumps, everyone needs gas to get their vehicles going. But same with mechanics, right? Especially, you have a way small number of mechanics than you do drivers. So that workforce becomes a real pinch point, that if they all get sick, we're in trouble that day. Nothing's getting done. But we also have mechanics that are spread out. We have mechanics in the police department. We have different mechanics in the fire department. And my sense is those departments started asking for their own mechanics and had them budgeted because the greater system wasn't working for them. So they pulled out and sort of tried to create their own mechanics shop, which probably isn't the most optimal.
Yeah, so that there was one city mechanics shop could combine forces and actually probably pay more and be more effective.
Yep. And also, we just have to be clear, what services do we offer? And I made that quip about leaves. Mm-hmm. City of Buffalo does not pick up leaves, but they pick up leaves. So in some neighborhoods, people rake their leaves into a big pile, and the city comes by and picks them up. Other neighborhoods, they will never come pick up your leaves. And, you might get a ticket for putting your leaves in the street. But this is, this lack of a policy on this has made it so we don't have an efficient system. The most efficient way to pick up leaves is with a big vacuum. It's a big vacuum. And you can
sort of like those sewer trucks that...
That's right. That's the most efficient way to pick up leaves. The least efficient way to pick up leaves is come with a big yellow high lift and try to scoop them with that. But that's what we do, even though we don't pick up leaves. So it becomes a real problem of... And then it also has this hazard, right? So contract landscapers start knowing that the city will pick up these leaves. So when they do big yards in the city, they often will put those leaves on a public right away. Mm-hmm. And then all the neighbors could call and complain and say, there's leaves here, come pick them up. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a policy on leaf pickup.
So
except we don't pick up leaves until we pick up leaves.
So that's... I'm interested in that because as a homeowner, I've always been confused by that until I didn't know, what are you actually supposed to do with your leaves, right? It's like, you can't burn them in your backyard. We know that
much. We frowned on that.
But then you start noticing that the leaves are, in fact, getting picked up. So is it, so we actually...
It's curious, isn't it?
Yeah, so... What, out of curiosity, what are you actually supposed to do? What's the legal thing that you're supposed to do with your leaves?
I don't know, but what I do know is the city does not pick up leaves.
Except they do pick up ours when they're bagged.
Unbagged.
Well, I always bag them.
Yes, but have you noticed the phenomenon of unbagged leaves being picked
up? Yes, and it's always, they'll take up a full parking spot when somebody's raked all the leaves into...
Right. You know what they do in town of Tonawanda? Hmm. they pick up leaves. And they tell you when they're going to pick them up. And they have a efficient truck that's got the big vacuum. Mm-hmm. And then they take them to their barns and they mulch them. And they have big piles. And when the leaves become mulch, they put sign up saying mulch available. And residents come by and pick up the leaf mulch to put in their gardens. That's the same thing they do when trees fall down. The city contracts out to different services. But Tonawanda realized that the tipping fees and the cost of those services was pretty high. So they came up with a plan to do it in-house that was cheaper than outsourcing. And so they'll pick up your tree. They'll bring it back. In order to combat the tipping fees, they will mulch the small pieces into mulch that you can come get. But then they, with the big pieces, they cut it and split it. And you can come get firewood. And the cost of the labor of cutting and splitting and stacking is less than the cost of outsourcing it and having to pay the tipping fees to get rid of a tree, which weighs tons. But someone sat down, you know, with a pencil and a little basic math and figured out that they were wasting money by going to a private contractor, and they're able to keep it in-house, get better quality control, but also get a terrific service for the residents of the town of Tonawanda. You can go out and get your mulch there. It's fantastic.
And that, so the leaf thing and that example that you bring up wants me to circle back to the composting of Buffalo. So there was, so it's, I guess the composting stopped in the city of Buffalo. And then I believe I've been told that the electronics drop-off, which is was at the same spot on Senex Street, is still there. But one of the things I find, and you bring this up with, you know, legally or the system that you're not supposed to put your leaves out because they don't actually do it.
But just to be clear, you're not supposed to put your leaves out unbagged. Because they don't pick those up. They don't pick those up. They pick them up.
Right.
And then the bag rule is blurry.
Okay.
Should I use a clear bag? Should I put them in my bin? Or do I have a dark bag? This is dealer's choice.
Yeah. And then, but so part of that problem, as you illustrate it, and with all these other things like the composting closing down, it's like getting rid of tires, electronics, like all of these things.
Tires, just to be clear, tires and batteries have their own separate recycling stream that, like the bottle return law, everyone's got to take bottles back. If you sell tires, you have to take tires back. If you sell batteries, you have to take batteries back. So we did that because when you buy your tires, you're actually paying a disposal fee on the front end. So no more tires on the curb, but you bring them to anyone who sells tires and they got to take them back. And it's the same with batteries.
Well, I don't think, I mean, I've tried to get rid of tires before and I
how did you try to get rid of them? I saw a guy who looks like you under an overpass one day. Yeah, I wonder if that was you.
It was, I actually did that. I tried to take them back to a tire place and they said, no, we don't take tires anymore. And then, so I actually paid $5 a tire to take them out to someplace in Lovejoy.
Yeah. But you can go to the electronics. And so we don't have a clear electronic policy. Same thing. You can't put your electronics in the trash because under state law, they have to be picked up and disposed of separately.
Yep.
So no more electronics in the landfill. And the idea behind it is supposed to be a private market of, I want your old computer so I can go strip some of the rare earth metals out of that.
Yeah, and I guess part of my challenge with this whole system is not that these things exist, but like you're saying with the leaf thing, when it's confusing and the composting place is closed, this, I think, all contributes to illegal dumping in the city because it becomes so, like, how do we figure out a system where these things become easier to do, but like the Tonawanda system that you're describing, like, actually are more efficient? Like, they actually work.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you just have to have a will. You have to have a will to do these things. You have to recognize, you know, their importance and endeavor, you know, to achieve it. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to figure out by talking to other governments looking at their models, looking at their cost structure. You know, what can we replicate here in the city of Buffalo? And if we can't replicate it internally, then let's go out and seek the best, most efficient contract to do it externally. But I don't think those exercises are being done. And a lot of it is just the communication, too. Have you been on the city's website?
I have, because I was trying to figure out all this stuff.
Yeah, I don't find it the most user-friendly website. No. And so it's very difficult to find something. So, you know, this is another exercise that we have to endeavor to do, is we need to update the website to make it more user-friendly, to make it so you could have these questions asked and answered. But you also, you can only answer questions, you know, firmly if you actually have policies. Mm-hmm. So right now, the city's policy is we don't pick up unbagged leaves. But their practice is they pick up unbagged leaves. Mm-hmm. So even if the website was really clear, it wouldn't be conveying the actual practice. So you have to make sure your policies and your practices match up. You know, if not, you've just sort of got like a Home Alone situation where people are just making up the rules as they go along, or the neighborhood you live in, or if your council member calls and says, could you please go pick up these leaves? So that's what we got to figure out is, you know, everyone likes a set of rules that are uniformly applied. Then everyone knows the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you should be able to figure out pretty easily, in my mind, the answer to any one of these questions.
It's not just, it's not just you should be able to figure them out, but you have to, is that actually the answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
If there's a whole separate practice, then you're just left scratching your head.
Yep.
Like every year it boggles me. I see these huge piles of leaves, bigger than cars.
Oh, yeah.
And I see contractors dropping them off. I always think, what is going on here? And then I've investigated, and it's the city's, you know, some contractor is saving money by not having to take those leaves somewhere. And so they just dump them, and the city will come by and get them for you. That doesn't happen all over the city. It's complaint-driven, and it's just not the way to go.
No,
but this goes back to communication, because I'm telling you, there are homeowners and contractors out there who think that is the system, because that's the practice.
Oh, that's absolutely... Yeah, no, it happens on the corner of our street up the next block. There's every fall, there's a huge pile there. And I've always found it confusing, but I've had people tell me, no, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you're supposed to do. It's not clear. Yeah, and then, you know, legal dumping, it's complex, right? Did you happen to read the article about the illegal dumping in Oakland?
No, I did not.
Yeah, big problem in Oakland, illegal dumping. One of the things they looked at was they thought a lot of the illegal dumping, well, let me back up. Everyone thought the illegal dumping came from people outside Oakland, mm-hmm. until they really dug into it. And most of the illegal dumping comes from Oakland citizens. And just like Buffalo, they have different sized trash bins. But they found that a lot of commercial owners and landlords were getting the smallest trash bin because it was the cheapest. And then if the tenant's trash didn't fit in, then suddenly someone had to put the trash somewhere else. So you'd walk it up the street corner and leave it there. So that is sort of one of the dangers of the, you know, two or three different trash bin model, is that you don't want people pull in the cheapest bin, but then they'll just put their extra garbage on the side of the house and then the street, or then the street corner, because that defeats the whole purpose, right, of the rodents. So that's become a problem. But legal dumping it's going to be complex, and we're gonna figure it out. Like, we're not the only city going through this illegal dumping, but we're gonna look into it, and I'm pretty confident that it's something that can be solved.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that, to me, it's about creating a system that people can actually use. And that's not always saying we're going to make it easy, or like, you know, we're going to do this because this is the way people are doing it. There also is combined some education that has to go into it. You know, I know us, like, you know, we compost and we recycle, and that has greatly reduced the amount of waste that goes into our actual garbage can. So, right. So that oftentimes, even with other units in our property, the regular trash can is not always full every week. But getting all the tenants on board and getting everybody else on board to actually understand that. And I think it goes back to, you know, what you were talking about, like having clear information for people, like what is the actual policy and can you actually find it and see it and understand it?
Yep. And do you follow it?
Right.
Yeah. And I think to go back to illegal dumping, you know, what I've seen is that a lot of illegal dumping happens around Big Trash Day. So I was just on the bottom of West, you know, where it goes behind Bristol-Myers Squibb there, just a, sort of a stub mm-hmm. street. Mm-hmm. On the day of Big Trash Day in that neighborhood, that street that has no houses on it had several piles of construction debris put there on Big Trash Day. So just like a lot of contractors dump leaves, knowing mm-hmm. someone will pick them up, I have this feeling that people take roofs off and say, well, I'm going to save this in a trailer because Big Trash Day is coming up and I'll just go put it anywhere there's in front of a vacant lot or a vacant structure in Buffalo, dump it out there because the city will come pick it up for me on Big Trash Day.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. You know, you'll see a house that they'll wait to like demo. And then, you know, you're not supposed to put out construction debris and you'll go by a house and you'll see a pile of like lath and loose plaster and all this stuff. And it does, in fact, get picked up.
It does get picked up. Yeah, I mean, I've seen whole roofs, shingles, like just all out there and they'll pick them up. But that, you know, that's a problem, right? We don't want to have contractors think they can save debris and scatter it on Big Garbage Day and I can save tipping fees on that.
One of the last things I wanted to get into with this whole discussion was the user fee and how it actually works. One of my criticisms of fees and the two that were imposed in the time period that I've lived in Buffalo are the user fee and the rental registry is less the fee itself so much and maybe what it's supposed to do, because I think actually, when I look back on it, the user fee actually, like, it has some fairness to it in terms of, like, you know, let's say, you know, the way taxes are, because it's a fee that everybody was supposed to pay or is supposed to pay.
It's a flat tax.
Yeah. And, but one of my, one of the things I wonder about these things is they, because I've had to deal with user fee and rental registry and such over the years, is it creates this whole separate department and what I find it often a very confusing bureaucracy of its own. So what does it actually cost to like set these things up, and is the user fee, is it still like, does it actually cover the cost of garbage pickup in the city of Buffalo?
Jim, these are interesting questions. Let's start with the origins of the user fee. It was 20-some years ago when Mayor Masiello was still mm-hmm. mayor, and at that time, Buffalo was at its state-prescribed taxing limit. The economy was in free fall. Buffalo was in free fall. Property values were plummeting, and so suddenly the city couldn't pay its bills. The tax revenues no longer added to its costs. And so one way to get around your tax limit is to create a fee because it doesn't count towards your taxes. So the city at that time said, well, we can make trash pickup to be absolutely separated from the rest of your services and make it a pay-as-you-go system. So, you know, it was a workaround for being at the top of your state tax limit. And so, you know, we're no longer near our tax limits, but we still have this sort of oddball system. You know, you get that bill in the mail, right? Got four sections. It's very unclear what you're supposed to do. Houses end up getting foreclosed on because of user fee confusion. We got to find an easier way to pay the user fee. It's hard to pay it online. The city charges a fee to pay online bills, which
is a convenience fee.
Yes. It's boggling. Every other place in America has figured out, we just want you to pay your bills. Mm-hmm. And if we make it easier, people are more apt to pay their bills. But in Buffalo, we put a convenience fee on that. But even with this sort of sideways, sort of tax limit dodge user fee they put up, it didn't keep up with the cost of trash pickup. So, right now, the user fee is in debt to the city $30 million. So it didn't keep up. Just like all revenues in the city of Buffalo didn't keep up, well, user fee is one of the ones that also didn't keep up. So for a system that's supposed to stand alone and pay for itself, the city is subsidizing it. And right now, they're $30 million in the negative. So it's a whole workaround system that they didn't commit to actually keeping it going. So now we have this sort of, cobbled together user fee system that doesn't pay for itself.
Yeah, which is like, you build a house and then you stop painting it. And so it just falls apart.
Isn't that the story of the city of Buffalo?
Yeah.
We stopped fixing our roads. We stopped replacing our snow plows. We stopped fixing our water mains, and we stopped keeping up with our user fees. So we have a lot of fixing to do, to keep back up. So, this is the city of Buffalo. So it's like an old house, and that, voters agree. I'll be taking the keys to that old house on January 1st. But we have a lot of work to do basic maintenance work just to get the city back up to its basic level.
Okay, on that note, thanks again for the conversation, and we'll talk to you next time.
Well, you're welcome. This is great. Thanks so much.